There's no possible way you can be on a journey that's going to take you from where you are to where you want to be and not expect that change is going to happen. It's not possible. And change is not necessarily something we're all really terrific at, because nobody really helps us to know how to do change. When my family made a change and we moved from New York back to where my parents started in Washington, that change was so stressful, it brought out the worst in every member of the family. And that was the biggest change we had experienced at that time. And all I know is that everybody was angry, everybody was screaming, everybody was fighting. Our worst behaviors came out. And it wasn't because suddenly our worst behaviors came out because we were in a different town. Our worst behaviors came out because we didn't know how to manage the change. We expected that we could move from our smaller life into a bigger life and have that just be kind of a great idea. It's like a good concept. And concepts and reality are two different things. About 3 or 4 days ago, Carol and I, out of our minds, bought a puppy and brought a new puppy home. Speaking of the concept, the puppy, and you all saw it. If I were sitting down, I'd be saying the same thing. Oh, what kind of puppy is it? Do you have pictures on your iPhone? Do you hold it and cuddle it all the time? Isn't it cute when it pees on you? The concept of change is fabulous. It's just gorgeous. The reality of change is a whole different story. And you begin to wonder, why did we do this? Is it too late to take it back? Will they give us our money back? Can we find somebody else who can? And you begin to ask, because your new growth, that new choice, that new change doesn't fit into your old life. What's the saying? You can't put new wine into old wineskins. We can't put a choice that brings us happiness, that brings us excitement, that brings us closer to our dream. We can't expect that that change is going to fit into the life we're leading now. It messes everything up. And there is a period of adjustment that has to happen where you have to be prepared for everything to change. And that everything to change is usually not something that's really fun. And in many cases, nice. And in many cases, light. It brought out the worst in my family. The worst in my family. I was punished more during the time after we moved than I was punished probably in my whole life. Punished for transgressions I shouldn't have been punished for, but everybody was so on edge. When we make a change, it's truly scary as hell. Now, that's a change. Nobody came to me and said, here's a dog. And I've never had a dog in my family ever. So for me, having a pet is a whole different experience. I never grew up with them. What usually happens, this was done by me in my own apparent right mind. What usually happens when we're on a spiritual path is that life brings the change. And it looks like it's out of our control. It looks like, oh, look what was given to me. But what we need to understand is that life doesn't bring anything to us that we aren't somewhere asking for. Except in asking for it, we don't necessarily ask for how we want it to be brought in. Because if you ask somebody how they want their change to be brought in, people would say, oh my God, I want it to be brought in gracefully. Sweetly and kindly, that this little dog just, you know, be an adult dog tomorrow, have worked it all out, all his issues out, her issues out. We want it all to be nice. We want that bigger life to come in the form of a sweet present where somebody really good looking knocks on your door And they're looking at you in that way that, you know, they desire you. They don't just like you and admire you and respect you. They also desire you. So you're all tingly all over. You receive the present of your new life. You thank them. Maybe bring them in for coffee. Maybe you make out for a while with them in thanks. It's just such a pleasant experience. You take that new part of your life and you just slide it without even messing up one thing in your old life. You take that piece of the new life, you slide it in, and oh, like a puzzle, it just fits. And now you have a beautiful life that's more beautiful. And it never, ever, ever, effing, never, ever, ever looks like that. And it doesn't. Because what we want is the growth. And in order to have the growth, we have to do the growing. We have to be grown into the size of person we need to be able to hold that new experience. It has to come through us. The change has to come through us. The change has to come through us. And if the change has to come through us, then we're going to bump into the words growing pains. And you'll know those two words go together. And it's not just, you know, for four-year-olds. The growing pains are our pains that happen when we have to be grown into the size to be able to hold the dream, the prayer, the wish, the vision that we have. Because we can't have that bigger thing until we become that bigger person. Not possible. And we are not in charge of how that growth happens, but we have to know something about that growth going into it. We have to know how growth works, how change works, how life works, because when it comes in, it's not going to look like anything you think it is. And the first thing you're going to think is, this is wrong. It's the first thing you're going to think, this is wrong. This shouldn't be happening this way. And I'm not comparing my experience to any of your growth experiences. I mean, a puppy, it's a simple thing. This is a small, little, simple change. I'm talking about when we make big changes in our life. And if we don't know the law, the truth, behind what's really going on, when something starts changing, we freak out, and we don't recognize that what's happening is actually the answer to our prayer, because it doesn't look anything like that. And we need to know that what's happening is the answer to our prayer. Now, let me tell you something that is so invaluable for you. If you have a pencil, this would be a good time to take a note. It is verse 34 from the Tao Te Ching. And it says, the great Tao, meaning life, meaning God, flows everywhere. It fills everything to the left and to the right, meaning everything is made of that spiritual source that is life, that is Tao, that is God. And all things, meaning us, all things owe their existence to it. And it cannot deny any one of them. Hear that line. Life cannot deny any one of them. Life cannot deny any one of us. You need to hear that, because it's going to be an answer for you to what's happening when something happens to you that doesn't make any sense. It cannot deny. Life cannot deny anyone or anything in its creation. It cannot deny. It didn't say it won't or it shouldn't or it may not. It said it can't. By nature, it can't. Okay? Tao is eternal. It does not favor one over the other. Meaning, it doesn't make a difference who you are, what you've done, married, not married, you've had an abortion, you've been divorced. It doesn't make a difference. You haven't taken communion in 35 years. It doesn't make a difference what thoughts you're thinking right now. It cannot deny any one of them. It does not favor one over the other. It brings all things to completion without their even knowing it. You need to hear this. It brings all things to completion. It brings every one of us to completion without our even knowing it. It brings all things to completion without our even knowing it. It brings us to the fullness of the life we are here to lead without our even knowing it. It's always at work. It cannot deny us. Now, why is this important? Because when change comes, and it will, and it must, We've got to understand that this is life doing its job, not denying us anything, no matter what it looks like. Because it rarely looks like the person coming to your door giving you a bouquet or a gift of a new life. It always looks like something that startles us, that's something that surprises us, something that totally throws us off our game, that scares us. And when I heard this story, and it was told by, let me give you her name. Her name is Gabrielle Seltz. And she told her story at a mall where people come together to share their stories, their true stories. And it's a nonprofit devoted to the art of storytelling. That's what Moth is. Very cool. So she won in 2009 with this story, all real stories. And why is it important? Because her story is our story. Every story where people go through change is our story. And she says she arrived 17 years old, her first week in college, because her parents wanted to go to college because she didn't know what she was supposed to do with her life. Some of us 30 years later, like, still don't. Okay, but at 17, her parents said, you're going there, you got to do something, be somebody, figure out what you want to do. She's there. She says she goes and meets her roommate. Her roommate is a girl who already has declared her biology major. She knows where she's going. She goes, I walk down the hall in my dorm, and she goes, there isn't one person that doesn't come up to me and say, well, what's your major? What are you doing here? What do you want to be when you grow up? She goes, everywhere I was surrounded by people who knew exactly what their vision for their life was. And there I was just kind of hanging out in college because I was made to go. And she goes, the next morning, this is her first week here, she goes, the next morning, I had to take an exam. And she called it a Subject A exam. And what it meant was if she passed this exam, she didn't have to take English composition for a whole year. Why? She's a good writer. She's already comfortable with her writing. It was no big deal for her. She knew she would pass it. And she wanted to not have to take English composition. She wanted to pass that exam. She wanted to skip that and go on to something else. So that night she's at a dorm party. The next morning is the Subject A exam, but dorm party, hello, first week dorm party, just leave your parents' house. You've been living for this moment. She's at a dorm party. A guy comes up to her and says, you know, you want to go get high. And she said the fact that he didn't say, what do you want to be when you grow up? She said it was the first guy in my life who had never asked me what I wanted to be. Coming from the community she came from, she was like, get high, absolutely. I want to hang out with you. She follows him across the dance floor, across the courtyard, outside of the dorm party, to his car. And she gets into his car with him and his friend, and they go into the car to smoke a joint. And she gets into the car, the friends, two guys up front, her in the back. She slams her door shut. He turns on the ignition and puts on the automatic door lock. All the locks go down. And the car takes off, right? Change never looks. Don't ever expect change to look like you're going to think it looks. And that's an important thing to remember when change happens. Now, the interesting thing about this is what the Tao Te Ching says about completion, that life cannot deny you the fulfillment of your soul's destiny. It cannot deny you, it won't deny you, it will not deny you. And while what's happening is happening in your life, you need to remember that. Because darkness, the Tao says, darkness, look what it says about darkness, and I want to tell you this before I go on with the story. What is this about spirits doing harm? The sage is approaching, and they are rushing in to sweep his path. The dark spirits have come to sweep our path, to get us to where our destiny needs to go, to complete what it is we have come here to complete. And life is involved in the entire process of helping us complete what we've come here to complete. The Tao turns our ideas of good and bad on its head. It says, let darkness sweep the path for you. When change comes, know that life is doing its job to complete for you something you can't complete for yourself. Because we don't know how to get to that expanded place to be who we need to be any more than a tea bag. The strength of the tea bag comes out until you put the damn thing in hot water. That's when you find out how strong the tea is, after it's in hot water. And the car takes off, and she goes, uh-oh, she says, where are we going? Can't we smoke this joint right here? And they turned around to her and said, shut up, right? And take a breath. So she already knew. She got it in that moment. These guys weren't even campus boys. These boys weren't from the college. These boys just crashed this dorm party and picked her up and were driving her up the North Coast on these winding roads somewhere in California and Santa Cruz. There were no lights on the coast, so she couldn't even see where she was to find out, to have any kind of landmark. And up they go. They arrive at a place on a path. She gets out of the car because they tell her, get out. And she stands outside of the car, and she can hear the ocean down on the other side of the cliff. Can't see it, but can hear it. Out of the trunk that they open, they take out a blanket, they take out a six-pack, and they take out two rifles. Okay? Life cannot deny us. Life cannot deny creation anything. We need to remember what the truth is when our life takes a turn. And what does this say in the Tao? It says, when the Tao is present in the empire, dark spirits lose their power. It's not that they have no power. It's that their power cannot harm anyone. Meaning, when you're holding on to the truth of who you are and whose you are, when you are holding on to the truth of who you are in God and what God is, when we hold on to the Tao, to the truth, to what the meaning of life is, to all of life conspiring towards the completion of our destiny, and we begin to live in that, it's not that this darkness doesn't come sniffing around, it's that, the Tao says, it can't harm you. We don't know what anybody else's destiny is, we only can know our own. We assume, the myth is, we assume, of course, that everybody's destiny is the one we want, which is at 96 years old, surrounded by your loved ones and your new dog. You're in your bed, and everybody's around you, loving you, and slowly you're closing your eyes, and you're closing your eyes to people singing like a beautiful song, your best music, somebody's massaging your feet, and they're all telling you how you alone have changed not only their lives, but the lives of tens of thousands of people. And your eyes slowly close, your soul lifts up and thinks, oh my God, this has been a great life. You look down and see your body for the first time, the body you have never accepted in life, and you realize in that moment, Jesus, I'm gorgeous, and I never knew it. And this you see as you're exiting, thinking, I was really a beauty all this time. That's how we all imagine destiny is what we've come in here to learn and to be in part, to play our part in the destined plan of life. We've not only come for ourselves, we've come for those we love, we've come for our children, we've come for our parents, we've come to heal ourselves and heal others, to complete our own business and help others complete theirs. We've come for extraordinary reasons in this life, far beyond paying your Con Ed bill. Far beyond. So they get out and they walk her down this path. One in front, one in the back, and you can't see, she says. So I tripped constantly, and she said, they didn't help me at all. I fell, I had to get up. They just stood there. I fell, I had to get up, until they got down to a place, a little place by the water with a boulder where they laid out the blankets. They sat on their haunches drinking their beers. And she said, and they just kind of looked at each other, kind of figuring out what their next move was going to be. And one of the guys said to her, you know, we could kill you right now and nobody would even know. And she said, you're right. You're right. And she looked to her right and left. She didn't know where the hell she was. She saw a fire down at the other end of the beach that somebody had made like a little campfire, too far to run. She looked up. She didn't see a path. There was no way out. And she said, "You're right. Absolutely." And she said, in that moment, the clouds, from out of the clouds that seemed to part, came a gigantic, big, full moon in the sky. One of those kind of moons, not just like, ah, yeah, there's the moon, but a moon that captures your attention, a moon that was so big. And she said, and that moon shone a light directly on the little piece of land that they were sitting on in the beach. It just illuminated the entire circle of her and these two guys with their rifles on their lap. And she said, in that moment, I, a girl who am so awkward, a girl who is just so not graceful. She wasn't putting herself down. She was just saying, that's the fact. I'm just not that at all. She said, I stood up. And she said, I saw that moon. And I lifted my arms. She said, I don't know what possessed me. I lifted my arms and I began to dance. She just began. She said, I started swaying my hips. I started undulating. My arms were in the air. She said, it was so intense and it was so pagan. And she was into it. She was lost in it. We forget that when change comes, if we can hold fast, not in that moment to what we know, we do our studying, our reading, our learning, our loving, our praying, our meditating, our morning practice, we do whatever it is we do to remember what the truth is for a moment like that. When instinct takes over, and we forget that when change comes, we are filled with the instinct of nature in our human nature. And we know how to hold a situation when it comes. Our mind's going to say, oh my God, if that ever happened to me, if that ever happened to me, if that ever... And I have heard in the past 25 years stories of that having happened to thousands of people. And they have all said the same thing. It was as if what they learned in here, what they did in their pages, what they read in their studies, literally emerged, and she said it herself, out of the blue came this instinctive response to move. And what happened? One of the guys put down his rifle and began to dance with her. When the Buddhists say, may we move in rhythm with the rhythm of life, that's their chant. They say it over and over. 20 minutes in the morning, 20 minutes in the evening is the Western way of doing the Nam-myoho Renge Kyo chant. You sit, you focus on either nothing or you focus on something. Tina Turner brought that chant to the population's psyche by saying, that's how I changed my life with Ike Turner. In that very abusive relationship she had, she said, I chanted. What did I chant for? I just chanted to be in rhythm with the rhythm of life. Because what is the rhythm of life? Here is the rhythm of life. If we don't know the rhythm of life, we think life is a random series of stupid and chaotic, absolutely cruel and merciless events from beginning to end, and God willing, we leave our house, avoid the gunfire and get home at night. And what the Tao says is something completely different. It says the great Tao is eternal. It doesn't favor one over the other. It brings all things to completion without their even knowing it. This is the rhythm of life. This is its job. We think in our prayers we have to tell life or tell God what your job is. I want this and I want this and I want you to do it this way and give it to me that way. It's like a glorified Santa Claus. Admit it. We all have that. You know, let me just tell you exactly so you don't make a mistake about what it is I'm asking for. And we're very particular. And certain spiritual teachers will warn you to be very careful, because if you make a vision board with a picture of a guy, you know, really handsome guy, all buffed out, holding a Corona, he might end up being an alcoholic. Right? So they tell you, be really careful, because, of course, life is so stupid, it would not possibly understand that it's just a guy relaxing as opposed to a guy who was born with a beer in his hand. So we have to be, like, really careful. Life, the Tao says, is not us. Life isn't us. Life isn't me times 10 or me and the best person I know times 10. Life is a movement of energy that creates the missing piece of life. That is you, because what it is that is needed in this world is something that you uniquely are going to bring. It creates you. It creates you. Because of that certain set of whatever it is you have that is needed to build out, to become, like life itself, a source of life to others. That's what we're here to be. Now, we live in a world that doesn't remind us that. We read the papers that don't remind us that. We listen to all the talk shows, radio shows, all the political opinion shows that don't tell us that. Where we hear that is in places like this. And why do we need to hear it? We don't need to hear it to become more spiritual. We need to hear it to become more bold, to become more brave, to walk into our life so that when the shit hits the fan, and it does, and it will, and it must. If you're sitting in this chair, you're sitting here because you want something to change for the better. Thank you. And if you want something to change for the better, the thing that has to change is you. If you want something to get bigger, the thing that has to get bigger is you. And when you know that life itself, right? What is, oh God, this is why we loved him so much. I love him to his day. Joseph Campbell. How'd he say it? He said in such a poetic way. What a beautiful man he was. It's as if 1,000 invisible hands, he says, 1,000 invisible hands conspire to help you along your path. How beautiful is that? Where will you find 500 people with 1,000 invisible hands right now in your life to help you even move when you move from one apartment to another? You got to give them pizza. You got to beg them. Maybe you got to pay them. And then you're going to owe them for a long time, especially if they carried your damn sofa couch. It's going to be something you're going to be paying off for a while. 1,000 invisible hands come forth in consciousness, in the web of heaven, hearing your call, coming to conspire at this deepest level to help you rise up into the fulfillment, the completion of what it is you have come here to do. And where the confusion comes is we confuse our tiniest dreams with our life purpose. We confuse our, let me just make sure I can pay this little bill with the dream of, let me be a source of life for others to take shelter under. Through my talent, through my gift, through my art, through my writing, through my comedy, through my building, through my parenting, through whatever it is that you do. And when these moments in life come and they look dark, look what Camus said. He was a French writer, philosopher, and one of the second youngest Pulitzer Prize winners. Rudyard Kipling was the youngest. He was the next youngest. He said, "There is no sun without shadow, and it is essential to know the night." I love that. I took a book out. I didn't care for the book at all. It was just this quote I realized I needed from that book. I mean, I couldn't even get past the quote. Let me do it again. There is no sun without shadow, and it is essential to know the night. Now, Course in Miracles does it differently. And we're going all around the place to find out that the same message comes, because there's going to come a day when you believe it. It might not be today, and that's okay. But the Course in Miracles says this. Listen to this beautiful line. There is another way of looking at the world. Write it down. It's a good one for those of you who have pens. There is, or of course, you know, there's the texting thing and the tweeting. There is another way of looking at the world. There's another way. It is so key. And for those of you who were here last week, we have recorded last week. It will be up shortly, if not today, tomorrow, and I'll let you know. But if you weren't here last week, listen to last week. Free. The summer series will be free on downloads. So isn't it pathetic? I don't even know the language, right? Have I ever done one frickin' tweet ever? You will be able to download the MP3s on my website, augustgold.net, for free throughout the summer. So every Monday's talk, if you want to hear it again or catch one that you missed, what you won't get are the quick Q&As. And the Q&As, for my money, is where you learn a whole nother, you're taking a whole nother level than where I can take you, because you're teaching it to yourself in the Q&A. That's not on there, and that's why coming here is a great idea. But if you didn't hear last week, what this is talking about is there is another way to look at the world, and we got to know that there's another way to look at the world in order for us to move in rhythm with the rhythm of life, the bigger rhythm of life, the rhythm of life that is the truth. The truth is we need, it is essential, not we need, it is essential, Camus said, that we know the night, that we experience the night, because this darkness makes us who we are. We hate darkness because we're afraid of darkness, because we don't understand darkness. And the Tao says, here comes the sage, here comes the wise man, and the dark experiences, the dark thoughts, the dark moments, they're sweeping his path towards the completion of his destiny. They're sweeping his path. They're not putting obstacles in his path. They're sweeping his path. For my money, there isn't a more unitive sacred consciousness than in the 81 verses of the Tao, because it doesn't bullshit you about this. Well, if you're a nice person, nice things are happening for you. And if you're a bad person, you're going straight to hell, roasted on the flames for eternal life. And that is basically what separates a lot of religion from spirituality. Because religion tells you the darkness is an evil power that comes to those who are evil. And the Tao will tell you that the darkness is going to be found right inside the light. And if you look very closely at the darkness, you will see the light shining right back at you. It is essential that we understand truth with a capital T, so that when darkness comes, we don't have heart failure in that first second, raising our fist to the Lord saying, wasn't I giving to charity last week? Didn't I help that old man across the street with the list of things of why only light things should be happening? The darkness sweeps our path. The darkness is part of the plan that life has to complete. Without our even knowing it, hear that, without your even begging, without your even asking, it will complete all of creation, and it will not deny any one of them. God, that's a whole different take on everyone is welcome. That's why the Course says this line, there is another way of looking at the world. And we spoke about that last week, the island of diamonds, the kingdom consciousness that helps turn our mind to see the bigger picture, so that a part of us begins instinctively to know exactly the right and proper rhythm, to be in the rhythm of life. And the second man got up and danced. And now they're all three dancing. Granted, of course, yes, they were high. Of course, marijuana will do that for you. But nonetheless, under these circumstances, it would take some mighty, mighty important marijuana for you to get up and dance. So we know it wasn't just the marijuana and a couple of Coronas, for heaven's sake. And the third guy put down his rifle and began to dance. She, a girl who'd never even seen a rifle except on TV. And they're dancing. And they start running and leaping and running into the shore and playing in the sand. And literally, they were lost in the rhythm of life in the center of darkness. We study, we learn. We get it into our bones until we own it and claim it. So it's not Ernest Holmes' teaching. It's not the Dow's teaching. It's mine. I got it now. It's in me. So when I step out into the darkness, I know that there is the light shining back in me, and it's in me. And in that moment, instinctively connected to the source of life, I will know how to move, not from my head that doesn't know if I should move from a two-bedroom on the east side to a two-bedroom on the west side. Not that head, this head, the mind, the one mind. The place that we talked about last week, when we go into the center of the present moment and connect with that which knows and knows that it knows, that part of us, that's what we're after. And they danced and they leapt and they ran into the water and they rolled around until exhausted they fell on the blanket and all fell asleep in exhaustion. And they awoke the next morning. The next morning, when the light came up, we walked back up the path, and they drove me back to college. It was 9 a.m. when I got out of the car, and the last thing one said to me was this: this was only a test because we liked you. Next time, it'll be for real. I walked straight to my subject A exam. I wrote my name in the blue exam book. I couldn't go on. I couldn't write. I couldn't take the test. I knew if I did, I would just scream or I'd throw up. So I handed in my blue book empty. I went home, showered, and cried for the rest of the afternoon, realizing what had happened. For the next 4 years, I drove up and down the coast, and I never found the spot they took me to. Everybody I asked said they'd never heard of such a spot. I flunked my subject A exam and had to take the basic writing composition for the entire semester, which meant all term I wrote personal essays and stories. By semester's end, I had found my major and my direction in life. Right? So when it says all things, well, let me read it from the beginning. The great Tao flows everywhere. It fills everything to the left and to the right, and all things owe their existence to it, and it cannot deny. This line is emblazoned in my mind. It cannot deny any one of them. It can't. It doesn't know how. It's not wired to. It's not a choice. It can't deny any one of them. Tao is eternal, immortal, forever. It doesn't favor one over the other. It brings all things to completion without their even knowing it. There is another way of looking at the world, and we need to know that. There is another way of looking at the world. That's why we come to these rooms. There is another way we look at the world, and that's what we've got to know in order to step out in the world. We can get 1,000 comforting messages, we can, from 1,000 comforting teachers and make us feel good about the hardness and badness in our life. But man, on the day you encounter a message that tells you there is no badness, there is darkness, and that there is no sun without shadow, and it is essential to know the night, to know that in this other world the night has a purpose, the darkness has a purpose, and its purpose is to complete you, to grow you. This woman ended up winning the Moth Slam storytelling prize, first prize. You can see why. If you listen to her story, and I did the, of course, because I'm me, I did the, 10-hour exaggerated version of getting into every sentence. Every sentence that she wrote, you could tell she wrote it, and then she pulled out every sentence and every word that wasn't essential to the story, so that when I heard it, I actually had to transcribe it word for word, because there was not a sentence in there that, to me as a writer, shouldn't have been taken out or changed in any way. She not only found her vision, her purpose, her major, she found the reason she's here, and she touched me, and I never even met her. She now becomes a source of life. She, who she said, is a woman who would leap without thinking, who was just walking in circles. Well, you know what? Life enabled her to be a very different kind of woman over the course of one 12-hour period. Would any of us choose it? Not one person in this room outside of the S&M section in the back. Right? Not one! But did life choose for her, her soul as life, her soul as part of the soul of the universe, choose for her that which she needed to wake up and go on a path that was going to show her more directly than anything she had ever done? Who are you? What are you? What are you made out of? That's what life does. And when we know that, man, when we know that, we can take a breath and understand that we are not only in touch with the rhythm of life, studying the rhythm of life, loving the rhythm of life, understanding the rhythm of life. Now we're in rhythm with the rhythm of life. Thank you all so much for coming.